Well, guys, best video game news ever this week.
Indeed.
Drew Brees made the Madden cover. This is Michael Minotti, and I am by myself today with no other guests. Let's get started on the rebranded Michael Minotti Show. I'm your host, Michael Minotti. No, I'm joking. I was waiting for someone to cut in. You're just going to let me see how long I'm going to keep the charade going?
We're not here.
Oh, yeah. I'm joined by my brother, Hedge Guy. Hi, AJ.
Yo.
And a good friend, Jeff Parsons.
Also known as Michael Minotti.
Yeah. You wish.
Yeah. Man, I didn't think that through. I was like, oh, that'll be funny, and then they'll yell at me, and then I kept going. I'm like, no, they know how to get me. All right, listen, here's our show today. Segment one is the news. AJ, I swear to God, you know what the goddamn first story better be. I'm not even joking this time. I'm telling you right now. Don't be
I know
cute.
What it is.
Don't do something else to be funny. You know what it is.
Yes, I know what it is.
Okay. All right, good. If it's like about Infinity Ward or something, I swear to God, I will drive over to Pittsburgh and just chokeslam you through your roof.
Sweet. Do it.
All right. No. Not unless. Okay. So we got the news, which will be delightful. Then we'll go to the quiz. We got Let's Go Topical. We got six topics to go through. Then we'll talk about our weekend gaming. I played Heavy Rain and kind of... we'll get there. It'll be interesting. So after that, we'll talk about the releases. That'll be the show. I have to say, last week, did you know that was one of our most popular episodes?
Really?
Yes. And, not to give credit to George, but I gotta give Fixer some due.
Yeah, I was impressed.
Fixer equals ratings.
Apparently.
Okay. Anyways, let's get started. Let's do it. I'm pumped.
Okay. A game was announced.
All right. Ago. I bet there better not be some other game that was announced that you're going to get cute with me here.
It's called Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
What's the full name?
Shit, I didn't write it down. Is it Fate of Two Worlds?
Yes, the Fate of Two Worlds.
Yes.
I already give it a 10. 5 for each world.
I don't think that really applies here, does it?
As you pointed out on Twitter, and as I noted too, the abbreviation becomes Marvel vs. Capcom 3 FTW.
It should just be for the win. Marvel vs. Capcom 3 for the win. So what do we know about this game, AJ?
Here's what we know.
It's going to be awesome.
Yes, there's that. It is using the MT and framework engine, or whatever it's called, that is what actually powered Resident Evil 5 and the upcoming Lost Planet 2.
Those are good-looking games.
Yes. I was kind of surprised it's not the Street Fighter 4 engine, but I'll buy it. The only confirmed characters, for sure, are Morgan, Ryu, Hulk, Wolverine, Iron Man, and... who am I forgetting?
Chris.
Chris Redfield. I'm sorry. Brain fart. There were silhouettes of... other characters. We don't know for sure, but it looks like we saw Captain America back there. There might have been Deadpool, Dr. Doom.
Those three for sure.
Yeah.
Chun-Li also looked like she was pretty much there.
Yes. Let's see. 3-on-3 fighting, 3D graphics on a 2D plane with a comic book style to the graphics. Shooting for about probably 30-ish characters. So not quite on par with 52, but I don't think we're going to get Thanos and Amingo.
Well, the thing was, and the reason why Marvel vs. Capcom 2 kind of had that ridiculous amount of characters was because it was all reused assets.
Yeah,
that was the whole threat.
Built from scratch,
right? Basically, they had sprites from Street Fighter Alpha series in there and Darkstalkers.
Yes. Also, if you saw the kind of six individual character drawings that they had for these six announced characters, those are actually in-game assets.
Mm.
They look like drawings. Mm. It's kind of exciting.
It's very exciting.
Yes.
Is there anything? Go ahead.
There's a teaser trailer. It's not gameplay, but it's very cool.
It gets you pumped.
Yes. I don't know, am I forgetting anything? I assume you've been like rereading all these stories every day since it was announced.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's not a whole lot of info right now. It's just it's incredibly exciting because for the first thing, this was the impossible sequel for a long time. They always said that they couldn't do it because it, you know, it became an issue where they didn't own that license anymore. The Marvel license, Marvel became such a big deal that the characters were all over the place and stuff. And the beauty of it is Marvel vs. Capcom 2 just very slowly gained this big following, huge following, and to the point where, you know, it was demanded that the games were released on Xbox and PS2, and then that happened, and then there weren't enough of them. So then they eventually, there was a demand to do the digital releases, then that happened, and outsold Street Fighter 2.
Well, here's what actually happened with that. When they did the Xbox and PS2 releases, as they were like printing the game, that's when they lost the rights, which is why so few of those exist. They had to like stop manufacturing it. That's when Marvel first went to EA, and we got that like Marvel's Nemesis or whatever it was. Then it kind of went to Activision, and that was just kind of like open for licensing. Then with Marvel's Capcom 2, they only had the rights to do it digitally, which is why there's not a Wii version, because there wasn't enough room in WiiWare, and they couldn't do a disc-based release.
Right.
And it seems like, I think, really, that digital release is what really helped prove that the market for this game is there. And I think also Marvel going to Disney probably helped with this, too, because I'm sure Disney's looking at ways to capitalize on their new IP.
So pretty much, though, if, like, Disney characters showed up in this game, Mike would shit his pants.
Oh, God.
Let's save that for the next one. Just Marvel versus Capcom now. Marvel versus Disney versus Capcom can wait.
But don't they miss an opportunity with these Marvel games to have, like, crazy characters like Frogman and The Spot and put Kazar in it? And just characters that nobody knows.
You're going to only have 30 characters. And I say only loosely. That's a lot of characters for, you know, normal fighting games.
But isn't that just the same characters from the other two games then?
What, 30?
Yeah.
Well, I imagine a lot of them aren't making the cut because there were a lot of silly... There were a lot of silly characters. There was a lot of X-Men. Probably too many X-Men because there was an X-Men fighting game. So they all got reused. So, you know, you had, like, that... what's the guy with the whips? The red something? You know what I'm talking
about. Yeah.
You know, Red Dynam... I forget his name. But, you know, there was a lot of X-Men characters. Like, Sabretooth. Sabretooth probably will not be in this. And things like that, you know, obscure villains like Thanos, like that green guy and stuff. And they even made up some characters, like, on the Marvel side, like that Captain Ruby Heart.
There's not enough Marvel characters they needed to make some up?
No, Capcom characters.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
From the Capcom side. They're going to be trimming some fat. I'm sure there will be a lot of new characters, just from the silhouettes even. You know, like, we're pretty sure we see Beautiful Joe in there and stuff like that. Frank West. A lot of the characters that were... A lot of people that were in Tatsunoko versus Capcom on the Capcom side, I'm sure will make it in. We have no indication of Phoenix Wright yet, but...
Thor.
Yeah, Thor... That has to happen. That's like...
There's a Thor movie coming, and my guess would be that they want that character in there.
But even without that, Thor is pretty important. It's weird that he wasn't in 2. I don't know what the deal with that was. Phoenix Wright should make it in. I mean, there's enough demand of it. They publicly talked about Phoenix Wright being in Tatsunoko versus Capcom and not. So they were conscious of it. I don't see why they wouldn't do it. Mega Man, we haven't heard anything about yet. It's going to happen. But it's just exciting that, you know, this game's happening. It's being built from the ground up. You know, so it's supposedly it's going to be gorgeous, you know. I am thrilled. Could not be happier.
Yes.
So
can you be happy for both of us? Because I really don't. I don't really care.
Shut up, Jeff. you're ruining my high right now.
That is why I'm here.
News story of 2010. 2008, we had the Mega Man 9 story. Last year, we had the Epic Mickey story. This is the 2010 story.
All right, good. Glad we found it.
Yep, here it is.
Yay.
After years of rumors, people saying it was impossible, Marvel vs. Capcom 3 for the win.
So let's see. The next story we have, I hope you're not Japanese and looking forward to Peace Walker, because apparently there's some censorship and Kojima's sad. I guess there's a particular scene that had to be cut to keep the 15 rating in Japan, but it is intact in America.
Do we know what it is exactly?
No, I mean, apparently it's a pivotal scene. So Kojima's not happy. I have his tweets if you'd like to hear what he said.
Not really, but if you must.
No, why not? Let's see. The PSP is supported by younger players, so we were careful to avoid scenes with too much bloodshed in Peace Walker. Even so, we still had to cut an essential scene because of the rating. It apparently didn't matter how important it was to the game's anti-war and anti-nuke themes. We sadly had to change the scenes for the domestic version. Which
someone's skins get. I bet someone's skin gets like melted off by a nuke or something awesome. Yeah.
Well, you know, also the Axe and Doritos are very important to the anti-war and anti-nuke themes.
Yes.
Sorry, I had to get one dig in there.
Mm-hmm. When I think peace, I think Doritos.
Yes. Next up, we have. So last week we incorrectly were talking about how the DSi did in fact come out in April, but really it caught the very tail end of March. We had our day screwed up. And an interesting bit of tidbit that was pulled from the NPD data. In those, 2 days that it was out, the DSi outsold the PSP.
The DSi?
The DSi XL.
Oh, okay.
I didn't read that right. Yeah, okay, the DSi XL was released on March 28th.
Who in their right mind would buy a PSP today?
A Metal Gear Solid fan who doesn't have a PSP yet.
That Metal Gear Solid fan should send me $50. I will sell them my PSP.
I might know one. I might refer him to you. No.
Let's see, yeah, DSi XL sold 141,000 units, beating the PSP's 120. And that's PSP and PSP Go.
And well, here's the PSP's only saving grace right now, is that a lot of Japanese developers, for whatever reason, seem pretty intent on making some relatively big exclusives for it. Like, you had that Metal Gear game. You have that Kingdom Hearts game coming out, and these aren't ports or anything like that. And I can't imagine how many more of these games are going to be made, because these games were put in development maybe 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back when maybe there's more viability, and I don't know. Go ahead. I'm done. No, I'm done.
All right.
Enough with the PSP bashing.
So apparently, StarCraft II has been rated adults only in Korea.
What's the basis for that?
I mean, it's going to be fine in, America and everything. It's just in Korea, which is like a country where StarCraft is such a big deal, it's like customary to receive a copy of the game when you turn, 16 or something. It is being rated AO. Now, they're appealing the rating, of course.
As far as, ultra-violent games go, I usually do not think of RTSs.
Yeah, I don't know what.
There's a lot of destruction, I guess, but it's not I don't know.
Also, if you pre-order the game at GameStop, you get a free beta code, and also, in a exception to the rule, Mike, if you get that beta code, you cannot cancel your pre-order and get the money back.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, wow. And I think if you already did pre-order, you can go back and ask for your code, which actually I'm going to do tomorrow because I pre-ordered it on Tuesday.
Are they giving out beta codes that will work on Mac yet?
Supposedly, let's see, I think it's the end of this week or beginning of next week is when the map editor is coming to the beta, and then the week after that is when the Mac beta will
hit. You already have a beta code, right, AJ?
I'm giving it to a friend.
Oh, okay. Because I gave you one.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. So have you heard about the Splinter Cell Conviction publicity stunt in Australia?
No.
I don't know what this stunt could have been, but apparently at a nightclub, or outside of this club in New Zealand, not Australia. This guy with bandaged up hands pulled a fake gun on people. So obviously everyone freaked out. The police came.
That's always funny.
Apprehended a man and found out that the gun was fake, and they were like, "What the hell, dude?" I don't understand how that's a publicity stunt. Just a guy pulling guns on people. Oh, yeah, I should get Splinter Cell. I don't understand how that works.
It sounds like Acclaim is back from the dead, running the marketing here.
Yeah, seriously, right?
Name your kid Sam Fisher, and we'll give you money.
Yeah, put it on your tombstone.
We'll pay for your felonies.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
All right, keep going.
That was funny. Ubisoft is making a move to be green. They're ditching paper manuals in all their games.
Eh.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I almost cared for a second there. Remember, like, instruction manuals have been pretty shitty as it is lately, and they're basically 5 pages of warnings in different languages.
I never needed instruction manuals. Screw those people.
It used to be, though, like, at least back in the day, they were, like, full color, and they were kind of nice.
Yeah, lately, I guess.
Yeah, it's like, you don't get that anymore, so it's not really a huge loss.
You know when instruction manuals stopped mattering? When I could drive myself to and from the game store.
Exactly.
My friends used to annoy me because they used to say, they used to want to look at the instructions before they played a game or ask what the buttons were. You know, especially on the Super Nintendo, I'm like, look, there's 6 buttons. Just try them.
Yeah, see what they
do. You'll figure it out.
Where'd I go? Okay. Batman, Arkham Asylum 2. We are having the voice actors getting a little chatty and revealing characters that they probably shouldn't have. First, I didn't write down his name. Kevin Conroy? That's his name,
yeah,
right?
Batman.
The voice of Batman. He leaked it at the Chicago Comic Con, and then Maurice LaMarche, another voice actor, revealed he is, in fact, playing the voice of Mr. Freeze. So, whoops. So he's in the game. And then we also had actress Stana Katic, I guess is how you say her name. She's in the show Castle. She is the voice of Talia al Ghul, apparently.
Awesome choice. Love that character.
Yeah, so they looks like they'll both be in the game.
I see, now the problem comes out. You're a DC fan.
No, that's not true.
Oh, please. You're poo-pooing on Marvel vs. Capcom, and now you know you're correcting him on the name of the Batman voice actor.
No, I'm poo-pooing Marvel vs. Capcom because I think fighting games are lame.
You're lame. I bet you bought DC versus Mortal Kombat.
I did not.
I bet you did.
If you were to count my comic book collection, you would find more Marvel than DC.
All right.
All right, I'm coming over there after this.
Okay, can you sort them out, though? Because they really need some work.
What's next?
What's next, indeed? So, in addition to the Marvel vs. Capcom 3 announcement, we actually also got Bionic Commando Rearm 2. An original game based in the style of the Bionic Commando Rearm, which was a remake from a couple years ago, with one big new feature, a jump button.
Now, isn't that going to kind of break the game? Not break it, but, it'll give it a very different feel.
Well, yeah, it's going to be designed with that in mind.
Well, I know it is, but it won't really feel like Bionic Commando Rearmed, because that was the whole point. You couldn't jump.
I welcome it.
You know, I don't know. Well, yeah, because I don't know why. Why does it need a jump button? Did you like Bionic Commando Rearmed?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I just think it'll be a fun little twist. We'll see how it goes.
It's not a twisty. Now it's more like every other game. Before it was unique. They're taking away uniqueness from it. I frown upon that.
I think
that.
It was just like that because they were out of buttons on the NES controller 20 years ago.
It worked. I don't know. I stand by what I say. Okay. Jeff, take a stand.
I don't really have an opinion.
What the hell? Is Eeyore on this show?
It's not something with which I am filled with passion to speak about.
Here, Mike, here. I'll talk about something you care about now. Left 4 Dead 2 stuff.
Oh, God damn it. Who's dead, by the way? Do we know
so,
yet?
So,
Who's dead? Which one's dead? Or is that a
spoiler?
I
don't know yet. I won't say.
We're going to ruin the big story of Left 4 Dead.
Well, the passing DLC came out yesterday, which is where they put the two groups of survivors together, minus one. Oh. I don't know who it is. They also are introducing what they're calling weekly game mutations. Just kind of like little mini game types that'll go in every week. So, like, one's called Chainsaw Massacre, which just gives you chainsaws with unlimited gasoline. That's, like, one example. So they'll just kind of add a new twist to the game every week, which is kind of cool.
Well, yeah, except it sounds like that the good feature from, like, Halo games where you got to kind of make game modes, except you don't get to make game modes. You get one at a time per week, and only during that week.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of cool that they're tying the two games together, though. Not many companies would do that.
Well, they're tying Left 4 Dead 1 with Left 4 Dead 2. Now, when you tie Marvel with Capcom, that's cool. God.
Moving on. Monday, supposedly, the Steam UI update goes live for everybody. It's not just a beta anymore. Of course, you know, one must account for Valve time, so we'll see. Like I said, not like it matters. You can just opt into the beta at any point. But hopefully this is an indication that in the near future as well, the Mac client is coming out, which apparently leaked. Although, like, the Mac store's not active, but you can, like, load up the Steam client and launch third-party games through it right now on the Mac. When they said April. They've got a week.
Did they mean this April? That's what...
Yeah.
I'm seriously excited about that, though. I mean, obviously, everybody who's listened to any of these shows know that I really don't want to use Windows if I don't have to. And I just want to get that ball rolling so that maybe I can game on a PC again one day.
Yes. By PC, you mean Mac?
Yeah, I mean personal computer, not...
Yes.
You know what I mean.
Yes.
Not a Mac guy.
I know.
No siree. What's next?
Well, now DRM is creeping onto the consoles now with the release of Final Fight Double Impact on PSN. It requires an active PSN connection, and not only that, but with the account that bought the game. Capcom rather. Sorry.
Freudian slip?
Yeah, seriously, right? Capcom has explained this as a way to stop the kind of PSN sharing that happens, because you get to download a game five times, so in theory one purchase could work for five people in a lot of cases. Of course, the problem is, like, if you have multiple people in a household who want to play the game, like, they can't even be signed into another PSN account. Like, that account has to be signed in and playing the game. So they said it's kind of a test to see how it goes. I guess we'll see.
My mom told me sharing was good. Now Capcom is saying my mom was wrong.
I guess so. They don't like your mom.
Fuck you, Capcom.
No, fuck you. Capcom gets a free pass this week.
Capcom hates mothers.
Confirmed.
Are you waiting for me to retort on that? I don't know. I don't know how to come back to that one.
I do have some Infinity Ward news.
Oh, God.
It's quick.
People been hired by... I can't believe that the people who quit Infinity Ward got hired by the people who made that new studio who left Infinity Ward. That boggles the mind.
No, it's not even that.
Let's hear it.
So, Zampella and West did not get their bonuses, apparently what they're going to do is redistribute those bonuses to the remaining Infinity Ward employees.
Who will then give that money to Zampella and West.
Who knows? I think it seems like a bribe to get them to stay.
Yeah, it seems like they're desperate to, like, yes, please stay.
Yeah.
I don't even know why they care. Yeah, they don't,
at least someone's getting paid, not just taking the money.
At this point, it barely really matters, like, who they call Infinity Ward.
Right.
Well, I mean, Infinity Ward's dead for all intents and purposes, right?
Sure.
Kind of.
I don't think they'll actually lose much money from... Well, they'll lose some money, I guess.
If they could crank out a Call of Duty with the Infinity Ward label on the back of it for the end of this year, it would sell approximately 3 gazillion copies anyway.
Right.
Right. Exactly. I think it might...
The guys down at the frat house don't know who West and Zampella are.
Exactly.
Right, but if West and Zampella's new company, Respawn, if they make a competing game, that'll hurt them. And they will.
Yes.
You know, much like how Medal of Honor used to be the shit.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, here's something that both of you should care about. If you have an MLB.TV subscription, you can now download an MLB app on your PS3 and watch games in high def.
I actually thought that was really cool. Oh, are you not impressed, Jeff?
Well, I just don't get it.
What is the MLB TV service on PCs? Just lets you watch any out-of-market game on your computer.
I'm a subscriber. I just don't know why, if I'm already in front of my television, I need to turn my PS3 on to watch the game. I subscribe to that service so I can watch the games when I'm places other than home.
Well, this is for, like... Like, for me, if I wanted to watch an Indians game that's not being shown in Pittsburgh, I could watch it on my PS3.
Okay, so rather than getting DirecTV.
Yeah, we have cable.
Okay, that makes sense.
I can't get DirecTV in my apartment, so I can't. That's not an option for me.
Then I'm with you. Now it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Right.
That's kind of cool. I don't know if I'm willing to shell out $25 a month for the privilege.
I gotta tell you, the MLTV is a pretty great service. If they approximate it on the PS3, it's really, really good.
No, it's a high def stream of the game. So
no, people were kind of poo pooing this, is because it's expensive, and it is expensive. But for if I wasn't living in the Cleveland market anymore, and I wanted to watch Indians games, which I would pay that much to be able to see all the games. Totally.
Well, you can either pay $25 a month or just $120 for the season. Yeah.
I don't live in the market where I need to live to see Yankee games. So I subscribe Yankee to games. Hey, look, 27 time world champions, easy, Capcom boy. so I have this, and I also have DirecTV. But the cool thing is, I'm assuming that the same deal will work. That if you have the subscription, you'll then get access to everything on an iPhone as well.
So the iPhone, though, you do have to still buy the app.
Yeah, it's $15.
The 10 or 15. I think, what is it, 10 on the iPhone, 15 on the iPad?
No, it's 15 on the iPhone this year. It was 10 last year.
They upped it. Yeah. Jerks.
It's the best app on the iPhone, though.
Right. Yeah, I had it last year. I really liked it.
I need to get that again.
Yeah. That's exciting.
It will be better than watching The Tester on your PS3.
Yeah, seriously. I probably should have said this sooner, but whatever. The Assassin's Creed 2 DRM has been cracked. Haha, take that.
Oh, god damn it. I thought this already happened.
No, it wasn't.
I'm so
really
annoyed
cracked
by these stories. I'm so annoyed of everybody complaining about DRM and then like throwing a little party when it gets cracked. Like, we told you so. Like, yeah, I know you told us so. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm on the wrong side of history on this one. I don't know why I feel compelled to not hate DRM, but I don't. I don't care. I don't know why. Why am I not upset about it?
Because you don't play a lot of PC games.
I guess so. But I'm just annoyed. I'm tired of the complaining. I'm tired of the, we cracked it. I'm tired of that tone in your voice when you talk about the stories where people cracked the DRM.
Okay.
Are we done with the story?
Apparently.
Thank God.
Rumor indicates that Metroid Other M and Sin and Punishment 2 have been delayed.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, seriously. Best Buy and Walmart.com are listing them as delayed, with Sin and Punishment coming out June 27th. Best Buy has Metroid for August, while Walmart has it for September.
We're going to talk about Metroid Other M a little bit later in the Let's Go Talk. Okay, I want to talk about
it. Good.
I got some things I want to say.
All right. Halo Reach is getting, as one would expect, 3 different SKUs.
Of course.
You're getting, your regular, your limited, and your legendary. For your additional $20, it's $79.99 in the limited edition. You get a recovered Oni black box that holds the game disc, an exclusive set of elite armor for multiplayer.
Wait, you say Oni? Like the game Oni?
No, it's the Office of Naval Intelligence inside of Halo, and they call it Oni. It's a little just throwback to that game.
Yeah. I was about to say.
Yeah, you get an artifact bag containing Dr. Halsey's personal journal and various documents and effects that explore the history of the Halo universe. Then, if you jump up to $150, you get all that stuff, plus a bigger case, and a 10-inch-tall, 10-pound diorama featuring all the members of Noble Team that was built by McFarlane Toys.
I thought you were going to say 10-pound diarrhea for a minute there.
No.
What an appropriate word to explain this shit.
You also, in the Legendary Edition, get a flaming helmet for your... for your Spartan.
I bet it's flaming.
If you get a spear and magic helmet, tell me.
It's just on fire.
Flaming helmet.
Oh my god. I didn't even know that, really. Wow. Pretty cool.
I'm only barely interested in this game, let alone some of this stuff. $150? Come on.
I have a question.
It's a very nice diorama, yes.
Do you expect this to sell better than Halo 3?
Yeah.
You do?
I think so.
There's a lot more Xboxes out there now.
I guess so. This might be kind of a stupid point. You think there might be a little
consumer confusion? Like, how will people know Halo Reach is Halo 4?
The multiplayer beta.
Not everyone's in the multiplayer beta.
It's a combination of everyone who was playing Halo 2, everyone who has ODST, and I'm sure there'll be other ways to get into it.
How did ODST sell?
I didn't reach Halo 3's number, but it did fine. I mean, this really worked for Halo 3. It really got people hyped up for it. It worked for Call of Duty 4. Multiplayer betas, like with this kind of May beta and then a fall release, it historically has worked very well.
I'm just wondering if the Halo saturation or oversaturation is gonna come back to bite them a little bit. I don't know.
I just feel like they watered the franchise down with Halo Wars and then ODST.
Right. Well, if you don't know anything about Halo, and I said to you, okay, Halo ODST, Halo Reach, and Halo Wars, guess which one of those is Halo 4? Based off of nothing but like the title.
Right.
You'd be confused.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What's next?
Microsoft has cleared the free release of MechWarrior 4. We don't know when it's coming, but like they announced it in July, but then it was kind of getting held up by Microsoft Legal. But it's going to happen, so that's cool. I like MechWarrior.
I don't.
Anyone else?
I like free.
I don't like free.
That's good.
I prefer paying for things. I feel better about it.
And unless I forgot anything, that's news.
Okamiden's coming to America.
Oh yeah, I kind of assumed it would. I always like that. Like I was. There's always these weird like this Japanese game is coming out, and I'm always like, I thought it was.
No, you did
like,
not.
That happened
know that.
With Birth by Sleep.
I never thought that wasn't coming out.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Well, okay, but it's nice to know. Well, yeah. You said all those other stupid things. Might as well say that.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, let's do the quiz.
All right.
Great American Asgard Game Quiz. You guys ready?
Yes.
Question one. Which game company was created in 1969 as a jukebox rental and repair business? What, you don't know?
I'm just trying to think what game company has, like, jukebox in the title, because this is what happened with Capcom before.
I want to say Konami, but my guess is it's going to be Capcom, because he's all about Capcom this week.
No, there was a Capcom question a couple weeks ago, though, so... Konami sounds as good as anything, so let's go with that.
Correct.
All right.
There you go.
Good job.
Question two. What was Konami's only 3DO release?
I actually owned a 3DO.
I owned two.
I had the slim Panasonic one.
Ooh.
I had the two big ones, whichever ones those were.
I think they were also Panasonic.
Yeah, but someone else made one. Anyways, let's not talk about the 3DO, please.
I have no idea.
It was probably like, what was it, Police Knots? Or is that what it is? Because it had a lot of FMV to it, right? Let's go with that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Wow. Are you cheating? I'm specking cheating.
This is logic, my friend.
Yeah, all right. Question three. What was the subtitle for Konami's Super Nintendo Tiny Toons Adventures game?
Oh, I know this. I'm going to be very mad if I don't get this. Do you know this, Jeff, at all?
You know what? I can see the box.
I know.
And no, I'm not getting it.
It's something like Breaks Loose, like Buster Breaks Loose or something like that.
I think Buster might be in the, yeah. Something like that sounds right.
Yeah, Buster Breaks Loose.
Buster Busts Loose.
I'm
not going to get it.
Judges say give it to him.
No. You got a chance to win here still. Yeah, the rest of these right. What was the name of the sequel to Castlevania 64?
There's a sequel?
The other Nintendo 64 Castlevania game.
Wow.
No, there was two. Because the first one was pretty shitty.
I think I'd given up on the 64 by then.
Yeah. Castlevania 64 2? I don't know.
I'm surprised you didn't even know of this game's existence. Like, I never played it or anything, but...
I have no clue, so I'll say Castlevania 64 2.
Legacy of Darkness.
Yeah.
Random words.
Yeah.
Question 5.
Something of something.
Revenge of the Plague Lords. Beatmania was first released in what year?
God. I don't know, like 95? Jeff, you have any idea?
I don't think it's that old. Is it?
It started in, like, the Japanese arcades.
I'll defer.
Yeah, sure, let's say... I'm always 1 year off, so let's go 96.
97.
Still 1 year off.
All right, bonus question. Guitar Freaks was first released in what year?
What's that? Say it again.
Guitar Freaks. First released what year?
Ah, Guitar Freaks. I love Guitar Freaks. Well, let's see. That was 97. Probably 98.
99.
Oh, that was going to be my guess.
Damn it.
All right, all right. Let's go topical. Okay. Six things. AJ, we'll start with you.
All right.
Due to impossibly high expectations and years of anticipation, Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is doomed to disappoint many fans.
I don't think it will. And I'll say this because I think people felt the same thing about Street Fighter 4, and that turned out to be pretty damn good. I think Capcom has kind of rediscovered their 2D fighting roots. They figured out how to make it work on modern, you know, consoles to modern gamers. And, you know, I mean, right now the Marvel properties are still pretty hot, so I think they're gonna get this right.
I think that a lot of people are not going to be very forgiving of the fact that there won't be as many characters. Some people are going to get hung up on that. Even though, like, you know, I understand, you know, why.
You know who's going to get hung up on that? The same assholes who were pissed that on Marvel's Capcom 2 and Xbox Live Arcade, every character was unlocked, and they were robbed of the opportunity to leave their Xbox on for 3 days to unlock a character.
Maybe.
And quite frankly, they don't matter.
Maybe. You know, I don't know. It's hard to say right now. Obviously, I'm very excited. I have great expectations, but great expectations. Ten years. Usually, a lot of times we have these series that are gone for a while, and they get the sequel, and it's something you thought you wanted, then you get it, and you find yourself not caring as much as you thought you did. Like Knights, I thought that having a sequel to Knights would have been the greatest thing ever, and then it came out, and I didn't. You know, it wasn't what I thought it would be. That makes any sense. But then, you know, sometimes you get, like, Mega Man 9, and, you know, okay, 15 years was worth it. So, it's hard to say. Jeff, do you have anything you want to say? I know it's not really your thing.
I think it'll be a good game. I think it'll be well-received, but it'll be by a very small audience.
I think it'll do better than Street Fighter 4 did.
Okay.
Because it essentially will appeal to that audience as well as, you know, a bunch of Marvel fans. Yeah, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 did as well as they claimed it did. I don't know. No, I think it's hard to say. I think it'll do well.
It doesn't feel like a $60 game to me anymore.
I guess, but you don't like fighting games. And I kind of understand that, because like, people say the same thing about Street Fighter 4. If you don't like fighting games, and I can understand why you say, well, there's not that much content here. It's just a fighting game, but...
Oh, I just suck at them, that's why I don't like
no,
them.
No, I understand. I kind of feel the same way about... RTS is... always been my kind of genre where I feel that way, where I don't want to spend that much money on it because I don't quite see the value in it for me just because I can't get anything out of it. Anyway, so we'll move to the next one. Jeff, starting with you.
Okay.
You are confident that Metroid Other M can be a Game of the Year contender?
No, absolutely not. It has troubled development, bad idea written all over it.
I just want to say, I just got the new Game Informer in, and they have a preview for Metroid Other M. I don't know if I've ever read such a negative preview for a game.
Really? I didn't read it yet. What do they say?
It's just, they're just talking, you know, it's not like it's like, you know, super negative, but for a preview, it's pretty negative. They're just talking about how things didn't feel that great, how some of the concepts were weird. Like, they were very critical of the fact that, you know how you point the screen, you go into first-person mode?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem is you can't move when you do that.
Yeah. I was going to elaborate. I think the concept is good, but the control scheme, it just seems stubborn. Like, I don't see why you can't play this game with a nunchuck and Wiimote and just hit a button to snap back and forth between the two. Why it has to be basically like playing Super Metroid with an NES controller that you have to, like... switch your entire holding position to fire missiles.
I just feel like on a lot of the podcasts that talked about the game after, what was it, like the Nintendo event that they went to?
Nintendo Summit or something?
Right.
Yeah.
I guess there's preview verbiage they're allowed to use. I felt like there was a lot of code in what they were saying for, I didn't think this was very good.
Yeah, and there's kind of an enthusiasm for the game when it was first announced. I'm getting the feeling that everyone's a little terrified right now. I don't know.
This rumors of delay doesn't seem to bode well for that.
Well, no,
too.
I think that's a good thing. If what we're hearing is that the game may not be up to snuff, you know, I welcome that. Maybe they'll rethink some things. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I'm just going by what I'm reading. Just when I'm thinking about it and putting together in my head, a fast-paced action game where you have to randomly point the screen to the remote. You know, it'll take you a couple seconds to get adjusted. You know, to find your bearings when you do that. I like a lot of the ideas. I love the fact that it's basically a love letter to Super Metroid. I love, like, you know, like the opening cinematic is same as talking about how awesome the end of Super Metroid is, basically.
Yeah, but see, like, I feel like I would have been perfectly happy if this was a 2.5D Metroid played with the classic controller that was basically like Shadow Complex.
Right. That's, I guess I
and I feel like they feel this need to have the Wii Remote being used in some weird, unique way, and it has to be first person still because we kind of have that legacy now. It's like, no, just keep it simple, mm-hmm. I guess, you know? Because Metroid, at its heart, it's not a complicated game. And I feel like it's going to get complicated, part because of Team Ninja's involvement, because, you know, the Ninja Gaiden series, complicated games. And I don't know if, like, they feel this need to mess with it, but they don't need to.
Kiss, keep it simple, stupid.
Yes.
But, I mean, I don't know. I'm just something doesn't seem all right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I hope not, because I love Metroid. Super Metroid, one of my favorite games, so I hope there's more, you know, I hope I'm wrong. We'll see. All right, next one. AJ, I take you said everything you wanted to say about it.
Yeah.
Okay. AJ, Famitsu's 40 out of 40 score for Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, with no disclaimer explaining that Famitsu has ads in the game, kills the magazine's credibility.
Yeah, I was hoping you were going to bring this up. Look, first of all, high-profile Japanese release, you already kind of assume it's going to get a 40. And then when you consider the fact that they are an advertiser in the game, you know, Vince has been throwing 40 out of 40s around like they're freaking M&Ms lately. And I just don't care anymore. Like, I knew the day that game was announced that Famitsu is going to give it a 40 out of 40.
But they gave New Super Mario Brothers Wii a 40. It's not that they're giving 40s to bad games, but it's just like, you know, they're giving it to any good game, almost. Any good high profile. And not like any, obviously that's exaggerating, but they're being thrown out quite a good deal often. There's definitely a lot more perfect games scored to them in the second half of their publication history than there was in their first half.
Yeah, but like I said, it's always high-profile Japanese releases.
I think there's a little bit of jingoism going on there.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, did Uncharted 2 get a perfect score from Famitsu? No. Did something like Fallout or Dragon Age or Mass Effect 2?
I feel like at least one high...
really good Western games?
I feel like at least one high-profile Western game got a 40 out of 40 on Famitsu. Like, I'll look that up while you guys keep talking about it.
Okay. Well, yeah, and then yeah, you take that fact that they are an advertiser in the game. Like, how could they, you know, in good faith, even review the game at that point?
Right. You got to figure, you know, EGM would not have done that. They would have ran an editorial about why they're not reviewing the game.
Right.
All right, I was wrong. But
yeah, see?
And since 2009, there have been five perfect games. Dragon Quest IX, Monster Hunter Tri, Bayonetta, New Super Mario Bros. Wii, and now Peace Walker.
I don't think any of those are perfect games.
No.
No. And not even perfect, but, you know, like, deserving of your highest honor or whatever.
Right. Right.
You know, like, New Super Mario Bros. Wii, that's a lot of fun. You know, why do we have to... Right. Yeah.
Well, especially not considering the games that AJ just rattled off that they don't get the same score. All of those games that you mentioned are better than the games that got perfect scores.
And, you know, it's interesting that we even care, because there was a time when people, you know, I can remember back, God, it's crazy, because there's 14 games now, and, like, number 4 is Wind Waker. I remember when Wind Waker got the perfect score, and it was a huge deal. That was number 4, and now there's 14 games.
Right.
And I feel like it, and back then it was more important, because for, you know, I'm sure you guys remember, there used to be a really big sort of Japanese envy within the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody kind of, you know, Japan was the epic center of the industry, and that's where everything was happening. And for a lot of us, when we heard that a game got a perfect score from Famitsu, which was just, you know, some magical magazine in Japan, we kind of took that very seriously. Now, I think it's becoming clear to us that we have no idea how game journalism works in Japan.
Well, I think peer reviews are 1,000 times more important than anything anyway at this point. I mean, I'll wait to see what you guys say about a game, what Mark says about a game, and, you know, I don't give a crap what Metacritic says.
We are getting to that point. It's interesting. I don't know. Like, I just don't even know how it works in Japan. Like, I wonder if just everything is like Gertzman Gate there, except we don't know about it.
Yeah, seriously.
It's like it's just a constant buying off for perfect scores. Who would know? All right. Jeff, next one. This will be fun. You're sick of the Games Are Art debate.
Oh, I couldn't be less interested in that debate. To me, there is no debate. If you created it, it's art. The end. If you don't like it, that's fine. But it was, and obviously we're referencing the Roger Ebert thing. Mm-hmm. It's an old man trolling. That's all it was. And I'm sure he got a bunch of hits on his website. It's as much art as anything else. There's things that I don't think are art. I don't think a guy chaining himself to a wall for 36 hours is art, but it is. I just think it's stupid. You know, he thinks games are stupid. Doesn't mean they're not art.
AJ?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's everyone's getting all hyped up about one thing one guy said. And, you know, yes, Ebert's a very respected film critic. And, you know, he has some valid opinions on film, certainly, because that is his area. He is not a gamer. We've seen the video you put up on Bitmob a few months ago of him and Siskel playing, you know, something on the, what was that thing called, the Reactor or
the
whatever.
Ring? I want to call it the Ringmaster, which would have been a good name for it, but I don't think that's what it was called.
No, the Activator or something. Yeah. I don't know, whatever. Yeah, it's just, look, he says it's not art. It's very possible he's wrong, or he doesn't care, or, like Jeff said, he's trolling, which it seems to be the case, because I started following his Twitter, because I just kind of found the whole thing amusing. It was something to read. And all his tweets are like, 1,400 comments on my article, and no one said anything intelligent yet. And I'm like, right. I'm sure someone made an intelligent argument. You're just focusing on the people who are like, lols, you are old, haha, you don't know what you're talking about, sucksores.
And I think overall he's actually a really good writer, and I respect him as a film critic.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's decided to, you know, have this particular piece of sand in his vagina.
Well, see, I don't know if I'm so much upset with him. What annoys me almost more is the incessant need of almost every wannabe game writer to kind of write their response to it.
Yeah.
It's a little grating. And he does bring up a good point. Why do we care? I suppose.
Yeah. But at the same hand, why does he care enough to tell us?
Well, he said one thing, and people kind of bother him about it almost nonstop.
Well, because he said it, so he's got to own it.
Sure, no, sure thing. But, you know, I'm sure he didn't know what he got into. We know what the gaming community is like. We know how much of a bad idea it was for him to say those things.
I mean, that said, when I sit down to play a game, I don't sit down and say, I'd like to experience some art now. Sure. I think I'd like to shoot some zombies now. You know, I don't care about art. I like movies. I don't like films. I like books. Right. I don't really like literature.
And mm-hmm. I've never bothered to really have an opinion on the whole game is art thing. Doesn't seem worth it to me. It's just all about definitions and what your definitions are. If they apply to that, you know, it's right. Nonsense.
Well, by his logic, Schindler's List is art, and what Anchorman's not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're saying art is good and things that aren't good aren't art, I don't know. That's let's get away from it. We'll move on. Who's going? Must be Jeff. Yep.
No.
All right. Last AJ one, first. Jeff.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll
think
take
it's me.
No, I'll give it to AJ.
No, fine. It's AJ then. All right. No, you're right. It is AJ. That makes sense. All right, AJ. Super Mario Galaxy 2 will be better than the original.
Yes. Basically, it is the original with Yoshi in a better co-op mode, so I don't see how it can't be. And I'm totally fine with that. So, I really want to play that game, like, real bad.
It's like a month away now, so not too much
longer. I know, that's crazy.
It's coming. Jeff?
I think it'll be better. I also think that I would have sold my Wii by now if it wasn't coming out a month from now. It's really the only reason I'm keeping this system.
Yeah.
E3's coming. Maybe we'll hear about something.
Well, I mean, what? Zelda.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, what even potentially? Like, I mean, I guess I have, I mean, I'm sort of sold my chips on the Epic Mickey thing. I guess I'm in for that one.
Yeah.
I'm willing to hold out for that game on another platform.
Which probably will happen.
Yeah.
I think I'm of the opinion.
Once they realize that they haven't sold any copies of the Wii because third parties don't succeed on that platform.
Right.
And the PlayStation Move comes out.
I was disappointed that old kind of Nintendo console stereotype still held true.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that was because of who bought the Wii?
In fact, you mean non-gamers?
Yeah.
Sure. I think a lot of it has to deal with the fact that it was, you know, people who bought the Wii don't know what a Capcom is.
I keep going back to the fondue set analogy because I just like it so much.
Ooh, what's that?
It just the Wii is the 2000s version of a fondue set from the 70s. You know, did people all of a sudden get into cooking because they bought a fondue set? No. They melted cheese once or twice, put the thing in a closet, and that was it.
It's an interesting analogy, but I really like it.
And so the Wii did not turn a generation of people into gamers? They were never going to be gamers in the first place. They were buying a hot new toy.
I guess that is one good point, because that's what we were hearing very early on, was how great it was that the Wii was going to bring about all these new gamers, which has not happened.
No.
Probably won't happen.
It was never going to happen.
Yeah.
And now the thing is social gaming and Farmville. Farmville is not going to create gamers. Those people want something to do for 10 minutes. They're not thinking, I would like to be a video gamer.
Man.
We're off topic.
No. That's a good point to bring up. All right. We're done there. Good job, guys. That was very insightful.
Yeah. Nicely done.
My topics are great, too. Good job, me.
Yay, Mike.
Time for our weekend gaming. I want to go first. I played Heavy Rain. I played it through.
Let's have it. What'd you think?
I think I hated it.
Oh my.
I do.
Like, you hated it. Like, actively hated it.
I think I do. Let's
hear it. Why do you hate?
It's just, you know, a lot of it has to do with plot holes, which I won't really get into specifically because, you know, they're spoilers and stuff. But just things that don't make sense because there is so many different branching story paths and scenes that you won't see unless you do certain things and the different endings. So sometimes something will happen that makes it – like, you know, you control four characters. At one point, the one character wanted to call another character that she had never met before in my story. Ever. Yep.
So you're saying that you got the sense you missed stuff, even though supposedly you're supposed to be able to get a complete play experience no matter what you do. You're still saying you had the sense that you were missing things?
I guess so, but it wasn't. It just bothered me that wasn't caught.
Maybe you just played it wrong.
But there's not supposed to be a wrong way of playing it.
I'll tell you what. I am not built up for that, because if I thought I wasn't getting the ending I kind of wanted, I would restart a chapter and try to do it better. Because, you know, I guess that's not how you're supposed to do it. I know that's how a lot of the people in the squadron didn't do it. They said if they messed up, they just lived with that consequence. Fuck that. I've been playing for 10 hours. I'm not going to get a shitty ending now where everyone's dead. I'm going to go back and try that one scene over again. And then when you do that, you have to do the, you know, it's, you know, I think it's one of the Panera Gate guys said that pretending to shave is only fun once, you know. Yeah, exactly. And then sometimes, you know, just there was one time where I kept doing that because I couldn't figure out how to do something. And I'll just say it to Jeff, because Jeff will know what I'm talking about. This won't be a spoiler. It was when Jaden's trying to put everything together. And there's a part where you may not have the one thing you need to put everything together.
You're collecting clues, and if you're missing one, you can't solve the case.
And I didn't have it. I didn't know that. So, and eventually there's basically a timer on it, and when you you know, you mess up the timer, something bad happened, and you kept going. Well, it, you know, like I said, I wanted, you know, oh no, Jaden's going to figure out the mystery, gosh darn it. So I probably redid it about 5 times, driving myself crazy, until I finally, like, kind of went on the internet, like, okay, game facts, what to do. Like, nope, I can't do it, I don't have the thing, unless I want to, like, go back 3 hours in gameplay. So,
You know what the problem is in that part also? It's an old adventure game problem, is that you, the human behind the controller, has actually figured it out at that point, but the character has not.
Right. And you know what the problem is? I can't play it like... You're all these different characters, and these characters obviously don't know things that the other ones do, but you do.
Right.
So some of their leaps in logic just drive me crazy. And
so you think this style of game might work better if you were just one character, played entirely from that character's perspective?
This style of game would work better if it was written by real writers. That's ultimately the problem. It's not
that is a problem for this kind of experience.
Right,
and acted by real actors, let's not forget.
Yes, oh god, yes. And you know, that's the weird thing, because some of the actors were okay. Madison was fine. The detective guy was fine. But the main character, you know, this, how great is it that I don't remember these people's names?
Ethan.
I played this game for 15 hours. Thank you, Ethan. God, that was dreadful. Ugh, I couldn't stand listening to his voice. Oh, by the way, Jaden's eyeglasses from the future, that drove me batshit crazy.
We're not going to have those next year? Game takes place in 2011, man.
I couldn't stand. I liked how that was the only thing like that. All, like, everything is very contemporary, very modern, except for this guy's crazy Minority Report glasses.
This is something else about the game. I meant to mention this on the Squadron of Shame podcast, which, if you haven't listened to it, folks, please do, because it's...
Oh, no, it's great, because I listened
to it
right
talking
after.
About that game for 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
The hooker, what's her name?
Oh, God, she was the worst
With
voice
the sort
actress.
Of French accent?
Yeah. Did they motion capture a corpse... for, go back and look. She looks half decayed.
Yeah. Also, there's, you know, the music was good, I guess, but it was the same 5 tracks over and over again. There was the sad song, the, you know, intense song. Just, you know, just, I guess there was a point where I got annoyed and then everything just started annoying me.
Yeah.
Almost like when you're in a bad relationship. You know?
I hate the way you breathe.
Yes.
So let me ask both of you this thing, because I've still only just played the demo. Do you at least feel like maybe the foundation's been laid for this type of game to evolve and get good?
Yes.
No.
Like, do you feel like someone can take these concepts and make something good?
Yes, they could make something good out of it. An adventure game, which we had before, and they were awesome. That's pretty much what this is. This is an adventure game with less puzzles or no puzzles. That's what it is. It's a adventure game with less puzzles and more endings. Whoop-dee-doo. I'm sorry. You know, I listen to Squadron of Shame, but they liked it for good reasons, and, you know. But I hated it. I did not like it, Sam. Do you have any more questions? I like answering your questions about it, because I'm so mad I can't quite...
How did you like the combat? Or the action sequences.
You know, there are long QTEs. I mean, you know, that they were fine. That's what it was. What it was. They all went on for too long. I can definitely say that. The one with Madison early on had nothing to do with anything. Oh, by the way, some of the things that just never ended up meaning anything, that drove me crazy. The big one with Ethan, you know what I'm talking about, Jeff. I won't go into details, but his big plot hole. I don't know. Don't like it. Don't think it will lead to anything. I don't think this is the future of anything. Don't think this... And I tell you, some people say it may not have been a good game, but it's an important game. I don't think it's important. Not really.
Does the thought of playing this using the PlayStation Move appeal to you at all? Just from, like, not story aspect, but, like, I guess just interface aspect? Do you think that'd be kind of cool?
No, I mean, I don't know. I guess it'll be fine if you haven't played it before. I won't go back to it. Like, you know, Pete... Yeah. He played it, like, multiple times, I think.
He's clearly
he
lost
liked
his
it a
mind.
Lot. Right, he liked it. No, that's fine. And, you know, I will say this, and I criticize people when they say they hate a game that they beat, because I say, well, at least they beat the game, so you must have liked it somewhat. And I did beat it, so I was somehow compelled to finish it for whatever reason. So, you know, obviously it wasn't you know, it's not terrible. You know, you can get through it. I think, thank God I didn't pay for it. I just borrowed it from a friend. I might have been more upset. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't think anything important will come from this. I really don't.
Well, because I don't think that what you said will happen. They won't give the engine to qualified writers and actors and say, go make a good game. That'll never happen.
I don't think anybody's going to be interested in making a game like this besides, like, David Cage again.
Well, yeah, it sold a million copies, not 10 million copies. So people aren't going to be running to clone it.
I'm surprised it sold a million copies. What? I don't know. There is. See, for me, like, any episode of Law and Order or CSI was about more compelling than their plot.
Oh. Ooh, okay, that... Ooh.
Agreed. Or Castle.
You know what I mean? And, like, you know, it's a murder mystery, so... And, you know...
It's a murder mystery in which only one person can be the killer. Let's not... Come on.
Well, you know what? And I don't know if necessarily having more than one killer would have done anything, because then there probably would have just been more plot holes that would have driven me crazy. I don't know. What? I think I'm good. I'm good. I feel much better now. I've been holding this in for like a week. I want to play God of War now. I just want to murder things. Instead of finding one. By one, I mean a murderer.
Hmm.
I was actually surprised when I found out who the killer was. And I thought his motivation was good. That was one thing I was worried about. So that worked out okay, I guess. I guess the actual murder mystery didn't bother me so much. It was almost everything surrounding it.
The germ of the story, if somebody said, hey, there's this movie and this is kind of what it's about, you'd been like, that sounds pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I'm good.
It's a frustrating game because it should have been really good, and it's really not.
Right. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Also, never mind. I can nitpick on this thing forever. Let's move on.
What else you play?
That's pretty much it. I've been playing more Pokemons, you know. I beat all the Kanto gym leaders, so now I'm moving on to Mount Silver. Gonna go fight Red. But first I have to farm the Elite Four for about 2 weeks to get some experience.
I have no idea what you just said.
Don't worry about it. Stop laughing. You're making me laugh. For no reason.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's about it. I played a little bit of Team Fortress 2 before we recorded. Okay. I was looking at my Steam list, and I saw I had Torchlight. I was like, I have Torchlight? Oh, yeah.
You do?
Oh, yeah, cool. I bought it when it was on sale. I should play that.
That's a great game.
There you go.
Yeah.
It is a great game.
Yeah, all right. AJ, what'd you do?
I don't have much. Well, you and I played the co-op of Splinter Cell.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that. That was
on Saturday. It's really good. I really enjoyed myself with it.
It was fun.
We played in split screen too, and it worked pretty well actually.
It did some neat things.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of work on the whole co-op thing.
Yeah, like you know, they'll put some situations where something might happen where like you know enemies can like grab your partner and you have to like you know save them and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it lets you do with the whole mark and execute thing. If you use it correctly, you can get like 16 marks in one go, because you can mark your four, your partner can mark four, and then when they initiate the execute, you could join in on it and use theirs, and then you could switch it back, and then one melee kill refills it for both of you. So you get in these situations like, and we were able to do this, where like I just had you purposely distract the guy by just shooting at him, so he focused on you, and then I was able to just come up behind him and just take him out. And it's kind of because the AI is dumb, but it's dumb on purpose. You can do things like that, so I didn't have a problem with it. We only just played through one mission. We'll play more of it. But I really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I liked everything except for the voice of the guy who was giving us our orders.
Yeah, it's like that was like the one case where like, let's get the worst voice actor we could find.
He sounded exactly like you know, somebody who would have been doing that role in 1997 on a PlayStation 1 game.
Yeah, like, I mean, literally, the guy's like, your mission is to break into the headquarters and find the intelligence. Like, I'm like, whoa, dude, like, huh?
He kind of has, like, you know how, like, the voice, it's kind of like that voice of the guy from Crackdown 1, except Crackdown 1 was kind of hokey, so it worked.
Yeah.
But I was like, this one's like serious. No, it didn't work out so well.
Yeah, yeah. And it's weird because all the other voice acting in the rest of the game is like, you know.
Yeah, fine. It's fine. Yeah.
Let's see. So I did that. I finally got around to just playing the trial of Mega Man 10. I haven't played it yet.
Oh.
It's hard, Mike. I didn't beat it on the first try.
Oh, man.
It's impossible. Oh, it's the hardest game ever.
Those silly hard games. Those old hard games. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Mega Man.
It's Mega Man. It's awesome. Let's not pretend to be indifferent. It's Mega Man. So good.
Yes. Yes. I really didn't play much else this week.
All right,
it's
then.
Finals.
Jeff, then.
I'm still playing Final Fantasy 13.
Oh.
And
where are you?
I am about 37 hours into it.
See, that was where I was, where it kind of dragged for me.
Drag.
Yeah.
Well, what has happened to me at this point is the Final Fantasy disease, where you can wander into the wrong place and find out, oh, I'm really not supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
then you get killed.
Boss.
Because you can't... Yeah, you can't do it. And then maybe you try to do it like 6 or 7 times before you realize I'm wasting my time here. And then you go on and do something else. That's you know... So it's almost like do side mission until they get too hard, advance plot, do side mission, repeat till the game is over. So I'm kind of in that spot right now.
Are you on pulse or did you come
back? Yeah, I'm on grand pulse now.
Okay.
I wish there was some more variety to the missions. It's pretty much go kill this thing.
I didn't do too many missions, and I was able to beat the game fine. And I almost like accidentally I didn't do too many missions almost accidentally because I kind of like accidentally left the area where you could do the missions earlier than I meant to. By the time I was able to go back there, I just wanted to beat the game.
Right. So I'm gonna finish it.
Yeah, I would just tell you, don't feel obligated to do those. I'm not really sure what you get from them.
I sort of always have a feeling in Final Fantasy games that if I don't grind a little bit, I'm not going to be able to finish the game, that I'm just going to get frustrated.
Right. I feel like you can compensate a lot of that just towards the later areas of the game of not actively trying to avoid fights. If you just get into every fight that you feel like you should, I feel like you'll have your bases covered.
I still like the game. It's just I'm sort of at that fatigue part with it for a little bit right now.
No. I know exactly what you mean. And that's exactly where I was. I don't know. Maybe you'll agree with me. I liked the first half of the game.
I did.
In terms of pacing, a lot more than the second half.
I would have put it down. I wouldn't have bothered. I wouldn't have gone through 30 hours of that if I didn't like it.
Right. And it's weird because almost everything everyone complains about, like so many people complain about the fact that you don't get to pick who your party members are and stuff like that.
No,
I like that.
Yeah, I like
that
too.
And I know you because you were talking about that on the Squadcast. And I agree with you because it makes you play characters that you wouldn't play as.
Right.
And it allows them to be a part of the story and have their own moments. I don't know.
I think it's I think it's an excellent game. It's just taking me forever.
No, exactly. And
I'm afraid to put it down and like maybe crank out God of War real quick because I'll have no idea what's going on when I go back to it.
No, I know exactly what you mean.
So, also, I played the Blur demo, which I thought was awesome.
Thank you.
Everyone loves this Blur demo. I thought it was fine. I don't know.
I got into a little argument.
You need to play more of it.
A mocking argument with our good friend Chris Whittington on my Facebook page about it.
What did he say?
Well, I said that it's what I wanted Burnout Paradise to be. And he said, "What's wrong, man? Don't you like fun?"
Ooh, them's fighting words.
Okay, I have to tell the story then. The preface is that I loved Burnout games. Loved them.
Mm-hmm.
Was excited for Burnout Paradise, and then it wasn't what I love about Burnout. I don't love driving around in circles aimlessly. I like the mission structure of do this, beat it, do this, beat it, move on. And I also suck at Burnout Paradise because whenever there's a race, I inevitably make a wrong turn and can't catch up.
I did hate that about it.
You're going to really like Split Second. You're going to really like Split Second, I think.
Okay. So Blur felt like the driving of Burnout with all the cool stuff from the, Mario Kart games.
Did you say Mario?
Yeah, are you British?
Yes. I'm from New Jersey, leave me alone.
I was like, I thought only Pete said Mario.
I don't know, Mario sounds like you're trying too hard.
Mario sounds like his name.
Fine.
The good Italian boys.
I'm Italian, too. I just don't have a vowel at the end of my name.
Well, that's no good for me.
I'm sorry. Okay. The rest of my gaming, and this is where we get into the shill portion of our show, it has been taking place on my iPad.
Oh, what do you got?
Pretty much anything that's not nailed down, I've bought. Sadly, I've been playing mostly Words with Friends.
That's okay.
Which I'd like to say again, I've beat Pete Davidson more than once.
Nice,
wow,
nice.
Congratulations.
Beating him at any video game is a feat.
Yes. Civ I beat Rev, him at Civ Rev. Oh,
Civ Rev is sweet
that was spooky.
On the iPad.
We both said Civ Rev at the same time, but
I know.
Two different reasons.
Yes. Well, I like literally won an iPad to play Civ Rev on
it. It is that good. Plants vs. Zombies is awesome on the iPad. What else do I have here? I'm literally flipping through it. Oh, there's a game called Sparkle, which is just a Zuma clone. But it's a really well-done Zuma clone.
Does it sparkle?
It does sparkle, like a vampire in Twilight.
Nice.
I got Broken Sword.
Ooh.
I got
that was
the new...
good. I guess it's a stupid question. I just never played a Broken Sword.
You know what the problem is with Broken Sword? Is that they're really good adventure games, but I don't have the patience to play adventure games anymore.
Wait, did they make an iPad version
they didn't,
of it? Or is it,
they didn't.
Oh, you're just playing the iPhone.
What's funny about the iPhone stuff, I mean, obviously when you get a game like Plants vs. Zombies or Civ Rev, and it's a native app, it looks incredible, and you're like, yes, I want more of these. And if you take like the Facebook app and blow it up to twice the size, it looks like butt. But the games don't look bad when you blow them up.
Yeah, because I know like all the demo units I've seen of iPads at like Best Buy and at my campus computer store, they're loaded with iPhone games. They don't have iPad apps on them, which I find weird. But like I was playing like Need for Speed and Nova, and yeah, I thought they looked pretty good actually.
Yeah, text looks terrible when you blow it up, but for some reason, game graphics doesn't look that bad. Let's see, we got the new Sam and Max episode 1. Oh.
How's that play on the iPad?
It plays surprisingly good, but again, I just don't really have patience for those types of games anymore. Which is a shame, because I'd love to see like Monkey Island or something hit this thing. Mm-hmm. And just tonight, I downloaded Chaos Rings from Square Enix.
Oh, what's
which
that?
Which is a brand new, full-on RPG that they have made specifically for the iPod and iPhone, which, blown up on the iPad, actually looks pretty good. Think... Vagrant Story, maybe? Something like that. I'll be trying that tomorrow.
Cool.
But I think this thing has a definite future as a game machine if that happens, because it's really a sweet machine.
Nice.
So, that was a commercial.
Yeah. All right, anybody else have anything else to play they want to bring up?
No, that's it.
All right, then. What are the releases?
All right. On the virtual console, we have Mega Man 4.
Hey, when it started getting all wrong.
What? No, yes. Some people would say otherwise. I don't know.
No, they wouldn't. Who? Five-year-olds?
There are people who like 6. 5 is, yeah, kind of like it.
I kind of liked 5 when I was young.
Yeah, well,
I liked Gravity.
We were excited.
Well, Proto Man was in it a lot.
I did, as I was playing Mega Man 10, and I'm watching the opening cutscene, like, Proto Man just shows up. I don't think you could do this one alone, Mega Man. I just tried to imagine in my head what you were like when you saw that.
I was. It's so stupid and cheesy, but I was still like, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, yes.
Oh, I was right.
Like, yeah, perfect. Because... that's what 10-year-old me wanted in a Mega Man game so badly, was for Proto Man to help. That's all I wanted. I remember Mega Man 8 where he just kind of stood around. I was like, come on, Proto Man, be in the game.
Here's kind of the funny thing to me, though, now. Because now that I've gotten into the Proto Men... and I see this cutscene where, like, Dr. Wily's ship comes crashing. And he's like, I've been trying to fix this robot virus, and they attacked me, and I need your help. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, Light, he kills your girlfriend. Why are you talking to him? He ruined you.
Doesn't quite work out anymore. Yeah, where were you? Get back on track.
WiiWare has a game called Bang Attack. Yeah.
That's not a good name.
It's one or two players. DSiWare has Surviving High School. Game & Watch Donkey Kong Jr., Game & Watch Flagman, Game & Watch Ball, and My Postcards.
Those all sound great.
Yeah. I remember how before Virtual Console, like, there was that e-reader thing, and it was a big deal because you could scan cards on it to play crappy NES games.
Oh, yeah. This is the future, man. Then the Pokemon cards had things on them for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Let's see. Xbox Live Arcade has Puzzle Chronicles and Afterburner Climax. Games on Demand got Halo 3, which apparently has that kind of hard drive loading issue that the game had if you installed it from before. Whoops. Let's see, these are all European releases, yes. PlayStation Network. Let's see, on the PS3, Afterburner Climax, Hyper Baloid HD, Puzzle Chronicles, and at long last, The Secret of Monkey Island Special Edition.
Nice.
On the PSP, Uno, the Xbox One, PlayStation One Classic XS Moto, which is not Jet Moto.
I think the classic status of that one could be debated.
Yeah. And minis. We have Charge, Tank Squad. Those both have exclamation points after them. Home Run Hitters, Hysteria Project. This is the greatest title ever. Monsters, parenthesis, probably, close parenthesis, Stole My Princess.
That's a great title.
Yes, and something called Shogi. And good old games.com with three exciting releases. Outcast, which I've always wanted to try, and I have to do that at some point because I've never played that, but I understand it's phenomenal. Masters of Orion 1 and 2 in a bundle for $6. And One Unit Whole Blood. I think it's a shooter of some sorts, but I don't really know.
It's a Duke Nukem era build era shooter, if I remember correctly. Build engine.
Yeah, that's what it looks like from the screenshots. Yeah. There's a guy lighting sticks of dynamite and using a pitchfork.
That was from the Let's Make Our Game More Violent time.
Yes.
Man, I decided I wanted to play Planescape Torment, so I went on good old games.com, kind of assuming it would be there. But alas...
No, that stuff's not there yet. I'm hoping it will. Well, it is on GameTap.
Yeah, I think the Infinity Engine stuff's on GameTap.
Don't I have to, like, have a GameTap subscription to play?
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, here's the... Sometimes those GameTap games don't really work, though. I tried... I did try playing not Baldur's Gate 2, Icewind Dale 2, and it was working, yeah. I guess. It was hard. I couldn't really get into it because it was hard as hell. It's hard when your first Western RPG games are like Fallout 3 and Dragon Age to go back and play like Baldur's Gate and Icewind Dale. Because the training wheels are not on. And what you learned in those games alone will not help you. All right. Here's our retail releases. Monster Hunter Tri came out for the Wii. What do you guys think? Going to catch on finally?
No.
Should it catch on?
Good luck.
Like I said, here's what I figured out, and I've had it wrong, because I've always said it's Phantasy Star Online with dinosaurs. It's not. It is Demon Souls with dinosaurs.
If you say so.
It's all about timing and angles, and I just want to mash the A button with my friends and take down a fucking Tyrannosaurus Rex. Why is that so much to ask?
It's a perfect game, according to Famitsu.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sherlock Holmes.
Japanese, too, you know?
Sherlock Holmes versus Jack the Ripper for Xbox 360.
I didn't know that happened.
Enthralling. All-Star Karate for Wii. I thought that came out last week.
I don't know.
Blood Bowl for the PSP. Man, we got some great games. Windy X Wyndham.
Are these real games?
It's a 2D-style fighting game that fully utilizes the dual screens of the DS, allowing for aerial combat.
Didn't Dragon Ball do that?
Yeah, I think so. Beat City for the DS. It's a masturbation simulator.
No, it's not.
You got me. It's a rhythm game.
Wait, isn't that the same thing? No.
No, wait. Beat City. No, you have to read this description. Beat City combines stylistic and fun rhythm-based games with a story of revolution and love.
Maybe we're both right. That's it. There you go. That was fun.
Way to finish strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Alright, hey, we're voting on the new game, SquadronOfShame.com. Let's see what's winning. Gabriel Knight, Sins of the Fire is winning at 8. Oddworld has 2. I voted for Oddworld, I admit it.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Why are you messing it up?
I started Gabriel Knight, 6 months ago. And I don't know. You know how you said you have a hard time getting into adventure games anymore?
Yes.
I don't really feel that way completely, but I was having a hard... I kind of felt that way with Gabriel Knight, specifically.
You know why? Because these are the old Sierra games that had some really bullshit logic
to them. Yeah, you know what? I think...
If you had to think the way the developers were thinking.
Yeah, Sierra games typically seem to be much more... Like, even more pixel-hunty than the LucasArts ones were. It's just hard. And
It'll be interesting to me to see if anybody actually plays through this game to talk about it, or if everybody's just going to talk about it from memory, because I have a feeling you're right, and it won't hold up very well.
I don't have any memory, so I'd have to play through it fresh. And quite frankly, I won't feel bad if I go to GameFAQs a lot.
Oh, you're going to have to. I mean, I played it when it originally came out. I probably spent, you know, $120 on those 900
numbers.
Yeah.
When I was playing it, I was progressing the story okay, but in order to do it, I had to try 10 other things. It was basically guesswork. Like, maybe if I go here, I'll trigger something. Maybe if I talk to this person again, I'll trigger, you know, that kind of thing. Mm. Where there's no real reason you would do those things, but you just do them because, you know, process of elimination.
Plus, those games always had that added pressure that, in the Sierra ones, I mean, you knew you could die. That always made me hesitant to do things in, like, King's Quest and stuff.
Saving eliminated that terror for me. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, though. It'd be interesting if I played it and hated it and got to go in the squad cast and ruin their party for them.
Yeah.
No, I don't think you'd hate it.
I
just think you'd probably
have
to say it doesn't hold up as well as it did back then.
No, and you know, but which would be hard for me to say, because I do think that games like, you know, Secret of Monkey Island or something do hold up. So, I don't know. I don't know if I would think that or not. Maybe I'll have to get into it. It's hard to say. All right, but the other game was Master of Orion 2 with a measly 1 vote.
So. I think that was Rock.
Oh, Rock. All right. Well, I guess that's it then. Anybody have anything else they wanted to say before we start wrapping things up?
No.
Not so much.
No? You both want to desperately leave and end the show?
Well,
Super Street Fighter 4 on Tuesday. I'm actually really excited for it now. I just suddenly got wrapped up. I was like, yeah, I want to play that.
Oh, well, there you go.
And I got $10 in Best Buy money, so go me.
All right. I want 3D Dot Game Heroes, and I kind of thought the game was coming out sooner than it is, because everyone's review for it came out.
Yeah. When's it come out?
May 11th.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell?
Are you going to make Wilhelm in it?
Probably, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think I want to play that more than I want to buy it.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I'm excited to play it, but it's like, now give me your $40. Ooh.
Really? Yeah.
Well, I feel the same way that I've felt about the things in Game Room. A 9-minute demo of most of those games is plenty.
Mm. Yeah. How many times do you really need to play Adventure again?
Oh, shoot. You know, I forgot something I wanted to talk about for a while. Week in Gaming, I could just do it quickly now.
Fine.
We talked about the Just Cause 2 demo. I just want to say that the correct way to play Just Cause 2 is to get 3 of your friends together, start drinking, and just pass the controller around every time someone dies.
All right. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel podcast. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at squadronofshame.com. We should really look into the explodingbarrelpodcast.com one of these days. Getting sick of the whole WordPress
maybe
thing. You know, you can buy it, by the way.
Yeah.
Mr. Moneybags.
Yeah.
You can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Is there anything you needed to pimp, Jeff?
Nah, don't follow me. I'm not very... I just make fun of disc golf on Twitter at this point.
I enjoyed that, by the way.
It's single-player frisbee.
What'd you think? Were you watching the draft today?
I was watching the draft today.
Tebow went
I don't get that at all. I don't understand that at all.
He went
before
two much better qualified quarterbacks, which is great for them. AJ, it works out awesome for the Browns because we might be getting McCoy now in the second round.
Exciting.
Yeah, that's great for us. Okay, anyways, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye.
Bye.